Chapter 12, the book of Hebrews and chapter 12. We're going to read the first three verses this morning, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you for these three verses this morning that we have read together, and we pray your blessing upon the reading of your word. And Father, now we ask for your assistance and your help in the preaching of your word. God, as we search its pages and, Father, examine its truths, Lord, may they be a blessing to us this morning. May they be an encouragement to us this morning. Father, may they be a challenge to us this morning. God, we need something that will motivate us. We need something, Father, that will break through the wall of complacency in our lives. And show us that there's more to living for you than just the simplicities that we have. Father, may you challenge us by our recalling of those who have sacrificed in the past. Father, those who sacrifice even now. And Lord, may we be challenged in our faith to run the race that is set before us. Bless your word to each and every heart. Challenge Christians, challenge believers this morning, Father, to have more of a relationship with you than what we're having. Father, be more dedicated to you than we are. And Lord, especially search the hearts of those that are here. And Father, should there be one today that's never placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, never made a commitment to Him, never received Him into their hearts, God, may they see their condition lost and without hope, outside of the love of God shown for them at Calvary's cross. And Lord, during the course of this message, may you challenge their heart and convict their heart. They would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the only one who can save their soul. Bless the proclamation of your word, Father. Give me clarity of thought and speech. And Lord, use your word by your power through your Holy Spirit to meet the needs that are in our hearts this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I wonder if this is crossing anyone's mind this morning. If you're thinking, Pastor, I know you're getting up in years, but do you remember you just preached this last Sunday? Well, for those of you that might have thought that, I know I'm getting up in years, but this is not a memory problem. This is a problem that last week we did not get to finish this message in Hebrews chapter 12. But I'm always mindful of this. A sequel is never as good as the original. And so I've got a challenge this morning. This is not a sequel. This is part two. All right, I'm going to separate those right now. This is not a sequel. This is simply part two. Last week we looked at some things and I had 9 points. I told my son, later in the day we were talking and he asked me what I preached on. And I said, well, I had a sermon that had 9 points, but I only got through 4 of them, so I didn't finish the sermon. And he said, you had 9 points and thought you were going to preach them all in one morning? So I guess he knows me a little better than I know myself. But we're going to finish that this morning. But the challenge was simply this. Paul told us in verse number 2, he told you, Christian, he told you, believer in Christ, run with patience the race that is set before you. And the challenge last week, and the challenge as we look at it again this week, is for you to run your race without quitting. To run the race without quitting. It sounds so simple. And yet in all my years as a Christian and my many years as a pastor, I have seen so many Christians that took off great out of the blocks, that ran a great 100-yard dash, maybe even finished a quarter of a mile, but eventually flamed out, or failed, or fell by the wayside. And there's nothing sadder, I believe, in this life than seeing someone who is so determined and on fire and running for God completely quit the race. Get out of church, get out of fellowship with God, no longer desire the fellowship of God's people, be satisfied with what society and the world has to offer. Nothing to me is sadder than that. And I believe Paul felt the same way, because that's why he told us to run with patience the race that is set before us. We'll not turn to the verses, but I'll remind you of those we looked at last week in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul said this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race, run all." All of us today are in the same race. The good thing is, we're not competing against one another. We're all just striving to cross the finish line. There's a reward to each one. It doesn't matter who finishes first. In fact, I guess the ones that finish first are the ones that are already gone to the other side. We're not in a race to finish first. We're just simply in a race in this life to cross the finish line. But it's not a 100-yard dash. It's not even high hurdles. It is an obstacle course. And throughout this life, many things are going to be thrown in our path to try to get us to quit. And sad to say, many things have been thrown in the paths of some people that have gotten them to quit. What will it take? What does the devil have to do to get you sidetracked? To get you to throw in the white towel? To get you to quit running for God? We looked at some things last week that the Bible told us that the devil kind of throws at us. Notice here again before we move on in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, it said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him," here's the word we focused on, "endured the cross." The lovely Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in a human body, come down from heaven, faced a lot of obstacles in His life, did He not? Not everybody that heard Him loved Him. Not everybody that heard Him believed in Him. Many sought to kill Him. One, a closest friend, betrayed Him. He had many difficulties, many hardships, but none were harder than when He endured the cross. When He took the weight of the sins of the whole world. The kids sang the song this week, and of course it went in with the theme of God's great galaxy. He had the whole world in His hands. And that's a true statement. He does. He upholds it by the word of His power. If God were to say tomorrow, that's it, this whole thing would explode, it would implode, it would be gone in an instant. He holds the whole world in His hands. But even greater than that was Jesus' death on Calvary, who took the sins of the whole world on His shoulders. We can't begin to comprehend that. That every sin that every person has committed from Adam in the Garden of Eden down through all those wicked Old Testament characters, even into some of those hardened New Testament people, and even into the sins of the believers who are not without sin. Paul said, I'm thankful that Christ died for me, the chiefest of sinners. When He died on the cross, He bore to bear our sins in His body on that tree, the Bible tells us. He endured the cross. In His walk, in His race, He endured. Verse number 3 said, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself." Consider Christ. When you think the race is too long, or the race is too hard, the race is too difficult, consider Christ, who bore the sins of the world on His own shoulders, who faced contradiction of sinners against Himself. And He said, think of Him, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, the end of verse 3, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. If you've been saved for any amount of time, you have been given you have had happen in your life a reason to quit running. Some unfairness that's happened along the way. Some hypocrisy that was committed against you. Some situation that God put you through that you didn't understand why he put you through it. Something has happened in your life that if you wanted an excuse to quit the race, you've got one. Runners will get out of the race because they get leg cramps, side cramps, shin splints, dehydration. Things happen to them while they're running. And some run through those things and some fall out of the race for those things. The same thing is true in the Christian life. The same thing happens to all of us. Solomon said back in the book of Ecclesiastes, the same rain falls upon the just and the unjust. We all walk upon the same earth. We face the same circumstances. Don't let them make you quit the race. Endure. Endure. You say, but it's not easy to endure. No, the whole word endure means it's tough. Get through it. Last week we looked at some things, and those were the four things that we got through last week. Some things that we're going to have to endure in this race for the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not turn to the references, but in 2 Timothy 4:5, the Bible said, endure afflictions. Don't use your physical afflictions as a reason to quit the race. Don't say, well, I don't know why God allowed this to happen to me. Well, I don't know why either, but He did. Don't let it knock you out of the race. Endure afflictions. We saw in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, the Bible said, if you endure chastening, God treats you as sons. There will be some times in your life where God is going to have to chastise you if you're a child of God. The Bible says that we are to keep our eyes focused on Him. No man looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. There are times in our life where sometimes we lose our focus on the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, and we get our eyes off of Him, and like Peter, stepping out on the sea to walk toward Him, when we get our eyes off Him and start noticing the things that are around there, the other things that are going on, and lose that focus, sometimes God has to come around and straighten our eyesight and get us refocused on the right thing. And the harder our heart, the harder God has to do His chastising. It's just that simple. Our prayer to God is this. You and I as human beings, as blood-bought believers in Christ, are not sinless and never will be till we get to heaven. So while we're down here, we're going to be prone to wander, as the songwriter said. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. There's going to be trials and temptations, afflictions. There's going to be things happen. They're going to tell you. And our prayer ought to be, God, anytime I start to wander, please immediately bring me back to the straight path. Bring me back to the right road as soon as I begin to wander. Because the farther away from the path we get, the harder God's chastisement has to be to get us back. We ought to long for God's correction and His chastisement. And the Bible says, if you endure chastening in this race for the Lord, don't quit when God chastens you. Thank God that He did. That He cared and loved you enough to correct you. We went to Esther chapter 8, verse number 6. And Esther said, I can't bear to see the grief that my people will endure. And sometimes in this race for the Lord, you're going to have to endure grief. I think Charlie Brown said it the best, good grief. And when he said that, he didn't mean it was good. He meant it's frustrating. He meant it's hard. He meant it's difficult. And you're going to have to handle grief. You can either deal with the grief by taking it to God, or you can let the grief bother you so much that you quit on God. Endure. I've gotten ahead of myself. Endure the evil. Number four was grief. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. There's that older mind. 1 Peter 2:19. We endure grief. So be careful that we, in our race for the Lord, we don't let any of these things knock us out of the race. One of our gymnasts for the Olympic team, and I'm going to touch this carefully, but one of our gymnasts decided that after years of training, being part of a team, working with the others, she decided that she wasn't mentally up to what she was doing, and I'm not here to judge that one or the other, but she stepped out of the race. She stepped out of the competition. Whether justified or not, again, I'm not going to get into that, but it leaves a hole, doesn't it? It left a hole in that Olympic team. It leaves a hole when somebody steps out of that place. And when you quit your race for God, it leaves a hole. It leaves an empty space in the church. It leaves an empty space in the family. So endure afflictions. Endure chastening. Endure evil. Endure grief. Run the race. You know, the only way you get through those things is at the beginning of the race you determine you're not going to let those stop you. Because you know they're going to happen. They're not just happenstance. They're not just coincidence. When you begin running this race for the Lord, you know it's not going to be a smooth road. There's going to be potholes. There's going to be speed bumps. There's going to be cracks in the pavement. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be heat coming off of the tarmac. It's going to be hard. You know that from when you begin. So you have to determine at the beginning, I'm not going to let anything make me quit running the race. Because if you don't determine that ahead of time, one of those four things will knock you out. And you quit running. I mentioned those four. Let's go on to number five. Here we will turn to the verse. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. If you're in Hebrews, just turn back toward the beginning a few pages to 2 Timothy, just a couple of books before Hebrews. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Talking about some things we're going to have to endure in this race. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3. Notice what Paul wrote here. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to Timothy, that young man that he planted as the, or put in place as the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he told him, he said, Timothy, I want to forewarn you. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a comfortable life if you're going to serve God. And I want to let you know ahead of time that you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I've had folks come into my office and sit there in years past and say, Pastor, I'm trying, but it's just so hard. I don't diminish their hardness. I don't pass it by. For different folks, different things are more difficult than for other folks are. But the Bible did forewarn us that in this race we're going to have to endure some hardness. There's going to be difficult times, lean times, hard times. When I think about enduring as a soldier, I go back to the Revolutionary War and I think of George Washington and those revolutionary troops at a place you know of called Valley Forge. Had they had not endured hardness, all of history could have been changed. If you've read that part of history and read it accurately, not in a modern history book, but an older history book, you know what they endured in that winter during the Battle of Valley Forge. They went without food. They went without shelter in the middle of a winter storm. Many of them went without footwear. Their boots had worn out, or they had one and didn't have the other, or they had one that didn't have a sole. Many of them didn't even have socks. They were completely barefoot in the winter in Delaware during the Revolutionary War. And for that entire time, many of them did quit. Some did walk away. They couldn't take it any longer. Many died. He said, well, Pastor, I've had to endure hardness. I bet you haven't had hardness like that. Folks talk today about a second Revolutionary War, it'll never happen. We don't have the backbone today to do what those men did back then. It'll never happen like that. Endure hardness. Look back here at Hebrews chapter 12. I hope you didn't lose your place, but look in Hebrews chapter 12 and back up just a few verses to the end of chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 32. In Hebrews 11, you know the story, Paul is giving us a list of 16 different folks who accomplished great things by faith. But in verse number 32, he says this, "And what should I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also, Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life." I'll volunteer for that. I'd gladly sign up for that kind of thing. All those victories. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I'd sign up for that. But you know, not everybody got that. We continue reading in verse 35. "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth." I believe if we'll focus on those different things, it gives us a different perspective of our hardships. The things that we say are too hard for us to endure, so that we have to quit the race. Others, not accepting deliverance, were tortured, were sawn asunder. See, when we think about bad problems, well, gas is over $3 a gallon. There's a problem with my cable TV. Enduring hardness. Here we are, folks, 21st century Americans, and I'm not diminishing. Don't get me wrong. We do face hardness. There are different issues that come up, but can we put it in perspective? If those folks back then were willing to endure those things and not quit the race, it's going to be awful embarrassing for some Christians in heaven standing in line with these other people and saying, "Well, I quit because of this or that or the other thing." Can we keep it in perspective? We're going to have to endure hardness, and again, there's going to be some hardness. The Apostle Paul knew about it. Turn back a few more pages. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you know this passage. This same one that wrote to us, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This same guy said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." We're not looking at that part right now. That's got an explanation. But notice what Paul says in the middle of the verse. "In labors more abundant, in stripes," that means beatings, "above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." Notice how many perils are listed right there. Verse 27, "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Who is weak? The Apostle Paul faced hardship. He knew of that which he spoke when he told Timothy, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Don't let the hardness drive you out of the race. Don't let the difficulties get you to throw in the white towel. Others have endured them before you. Others are enduring them around you. Others will endure them after you. Don't use it as an excuse to quit the race. Endure hardness. Then look, if you would, at the book of James. If you're starting in Hebrews again, keep your place there in chapter 12, and we'll use that as a reference. Right after Hebrews is the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 12. James chapter 1 verse 12. Another thing you're going to have to endure in this race for the Lord. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Along the race for the Lord, along the course, along that run, you're going to face temptations. Temptations that'll knock you out of the race. Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said, having loved this present world. All the allurements of this world are so great. They are so multiplied. So many things that want to take our attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll get us sidetracked. Oh, I'm not quitting the race. I'm just kind of running in a different direction now. A different direction is the wrong direction. He said, endure temptation. You know what James did in saying that? He took it for granted that you are going to face temptation. He didn't say, if you endure temptation. He said in verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Everybody's going to face it. Some will endure it, get through it, gut it through, run through it, and others will fall by the wayside as Demas, who Paul said had forsaken him. Temptations are many-fold, are they not? They come in different shapes and sizes, different things. What is a temptation to some is not even a temptation to others. What some struggle with, others have no problem with. What would bother one might not bother the other. And these are the different temptations, and the devil is very wise and very smart at knowing which ones will get you. That's the bad part. He knows which ones will get you. He's watched you long enough. He's observed you long enough. And he says, okay, if I want to work on him or if I want to work on her, here's all it'll take for me to get to them. And he succeeds time and time and time again. Because folks aren't enduring temptation. Those temptations are manifold. Look here after James, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. Notice how he says it here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now that manifold is not the thing under the hood of your car. That's many-fold. Many aspect. Many different ways. Diverse temptations. The devil is wise. The devil is smart in knowing what he can do to get you to fail. He tried something one time. It didn't work, so he tries something next time. What is it going to take? What temptation? There's no temptation taking you, Bible, the Bible says, but is common to man. And God will, with that temptation, make a way of escape that ye might be able to bear it. Run through it. That temptation, run through it. Sometimes maybe you got to run from it, as Joseph did when Potiphar's wife tried to grab a hold of him and he turned and he ran. But keep running. Run that race. When those temptations come, just tell the devil, you're not going to get me on this. You know how I know we have those temptations? Again, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. We keep coming back here because this is the foundation of what we're looking at. In verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, notice this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. That's our temptation. The sin that so easily, the sin, that's a particular sin that so easily besets us. What is the sin that easily besets you? You know what it is. God knows what it is. The devil knows what it is. And that's the one he's going to work on. Paul said, let us lay it aside. Lay aside that sin as a weight, because that's exactly what it is. When a runner goes to run, he doesn't want ankle weights on. He wants the lightest shoes he can possibly find. Aren't you amazed? I remember back in my high school days, I remember the track shoes that we had back then. You pick those up now and they feel like weights. They've made shoes so lightweight and so thin and so cushioned and yet so lightweight. Laying aside every weight. Why? Because those weights hinder us. A batter gets ready to go to the plate to bat. He puts a donut, a weight on his bat, and he takes a few swings with that so that when he takes it off, it's going to seem so much lighter. It's so much better without the weight. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Don't let temptation be the thing that knocks you out of the race. Run through it. You're going to see it. They talk about runners hitting the wall. In other words, they get to that point of their endurance where the wall's in front, and it's going to take everything they've got to keep going. Keep going. Let us run with patience the race that is set before. It's not a walk. You ever seen race walkers? Is anybody here a race walker? Okay, good, then I'm safe. Race walking is the goofiest thing you've ever seen before. Because they are running for speed, and I mean the arms and the legs, and I'm not going to try to imitate it because that would just make me look like a fool. But those race walkers that are walking as fast as they can, when they're doing that, you're looking at them, why don't you just run? You're going that fast anyway, just get going. Our race is not a walk, it's a run. And it's a run of endurance through manifold temptations. Keep running. Look, if you would, at 2 Thessalonians, back before Hebrews again. 2 Thessalonians, we've talked this morning about enduring hardness, enduring temptation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse number 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 4. So then, we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Patience and faith. In all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Some other things you're going to have to endure in this race is persecution and tribulation. The Bible says, Paul said to these in Thessalonica, that they did. Through their patience and faith, they endured their persecutions and tribulations. We here in America, in our current day, don't know a lot about persecution. Maybe on your job site, you have tried to be vocal about your faith in the Lord and receive some rebuff for that. Receive criticism. Probably even some joking and some mocking about your faith. And that is persecution. But again, we think about those we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Living in the caves and the dens, hiding from those that would persecute them. We don't face that. There are those in the world today that do. There are those in countries today. Believers in China or North Korea. Believers in some of these different countries and lands in Russia where faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is outlawed against the law. You're not allowed to have a Bible. You're not allowed to witness to someone or talk about the Lord. And if you do, you have to go through that extreme persecution. And yet so many around the world, even today, continue to run in spite of that. They take what precautions they can. They take what steps are necessary, but they keep running. Can I encourage you, when you're the odd man out, the odd woman out, in a group of socially gathered people, and the persecution might rise to the surface, don't quit running. Don't stop. Run the race with patience that is set before you. Don't let persecution or tribulation. Tribulation is another word for trials. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many here have lived so far without going through a trial? Absolutely nobody. How many since you've been saved have not gone through a trial? Because everybody knows that once you give your heart and life to Jesus, He protects you that you never have a trial again. No, that's not true, is it? That's not Bible. He said to them, you have endured tribulations by your patience and faith. You've not let the tribulations knock you out of the race. We have all faced trials of one size or another, of one magnitude or another. And sad to say, we all know people whose trials have knocked them out of the race. They use it as a reason, but it's not a reason, it's an excuse to stop running. And they went from running to walking, and from walking to sitting, and from sitting to doing absolutely nothing for God in a wasted life because of some trial that came into their life. A trial that others have endured. A trial not as great as many others have gone through, but that trial knocked them out. Be determined, no trial's going to do that. Again, that's not to minimize the hardness of the trial, but to recognize they are going to happen. And God's going to allow them to happen. Because the trying of our faith worketh patience. And we're to run this race with patience. Run through the persecutions and the tribulations. Then lastly, if you're keeping track, this is number 9. Go back to Psalm 30. All the way back to the Old Testament, Psalm 30, middle of the Bible. Psalm 30. The things the Bible tells us that we're going to have to endure to run this race for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I am sorry if somebody sold you a bill of goods. I couldn't remember that expression. If somebody sold you a bill of goods and told you when you got saved, everything will be fine now. Kind of like I said with Grant's arm. Told somebody it was fine. It's not fine. It's still hurting, but it'll be better. If somebody told you when you trusted Christ your Savior, all your problems are over now, everything's going to be great, and then within 5-10 minutes maybe, you found out that wasn't true. That God forgave your sins, gave you a new life. I remember the night I got saved, 18 years of age, in church for the first day of my life, basically, and received the Lord as my Savior. And I thought, man, this is fantastic. This is great. The whole world's going to be glad this happened to me. And I went to work Monday morning and found out they weren't as glad as I thought they were going to be. And all of a sudden I got labeled as a religious fanatic. And I thought, what did I do? I hope nobody told you everything was going to be fine and dandy after that. There's going to be some heartbreaking moments in your life that you're going to have to endure. Psalm 30, verse number 5. For His anger endureth for a moment, in His favor is life. Notice this. Weeping may endure for a night. Oh, we like the last half of that verse. But joy cometh in the morning, but weeping shall endure for a night. Have you been through that night? Probably more than once in your life. That night that brought weeping. heartbrokenness, disappointment, questioning, maybe questioning God and what He's doing in your heart and in your life. Why is God allowing this to happen? Weeping will come in the night. Many of you have lost the dearest person on earth to you, had to say goodbye to a spouse. Weeping endures for a night. Many have had to say goodbye to a child, which should never happen before the parents go. Weeping does endure for the night. Sometimes we weep for a child gone astray, for that prodigal. Weeping endures for the night. I don't know what has happened in your life that's broken your heart, but I do know this, we've all been given reason to weep. And some folks will use that as an excuse to quit running the race. Oh, what a sad reason to quit. Because once you quit, it doesn't mean you're never going to weep again. It just means that when you weep, you will not have that promised presence, that guaranteed availability of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with you during that time. So that's the whole thing. This whole thing about running this race, it's not to get to heaven. We're not running a race to get to heaven. We're running a race because we're going to heaven. We're not competing. We're not running to get there. We get there by the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary, by putting our faith and trust in Him. Once we do that, we are suited up for the run. We are enlisted in the race. And when you look from that race, from the point you got saved to the end of your earthly life, all these different things are going to come up during that period of time that the devil intends, or the world intends, or the flesh intends to get you to quit running that race. And what is the benefit of quitting the race? No matter what the reason is, what's the benefit of quitting the race? There's absolutely none. Now, those that have quit the race might say, well, I'm happy. I would accuse them of lying. There might be a surface happiness to it, but there's no deep-found happiness. There can't be when you quit on God. Aren't you thankful the Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross? Didn't quit before He got there? And He encourages us to do the same thing. There is a reward for finishing the race. There's no reward for quitting. And there's no benefit to quitting and no blessing to quitting. I've seen some that have quit the race somewhere along the way for one reason or another. And then after a period of time, maybe months, maybe years, realize their mistake and want to get back in the race. You know how hard it is to catch up once you've dropped out? Think about a race. You've dropped out for a year, you've dropped out for 2 years. Oh, thank God you'd get back in the race, but you realize what distance you've lost in the meantime? Don't quit that race. There's no benefit to it. And for those that quit that race for maybe 2 years' time, for 2 years, they've quit running the race that brings the blessings of God. They've not quit enduring grief or temptation or those things because those are still there. They've just decided to run it on their own without God running beside them. And there is no value. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with race, run with patience, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. One more verse and we'll be done. Let me find my verse here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We closed with it last week, I know. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. The Apostle Paul, who has written most of these verses we've looked at, who endured the shipwrecks, the beatings, the imprisonments. He said, in death oft, in the book of Acts we read about him being stoned and left outside the city for dead. And yet in all these things he said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. He had a lot of obstacles, temptations, grief, evil. All these different things, weeping in the night. He faced all those, but he finished his course. He's writing that verse right as he's about to be martyred for Christ. But he says, I've kept the faith. Then he says in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them also. All them also. That love is appearing. Why do you run the race? Because there's a crown at the end. There's a reward, not for the winner, but for every finisher. There's a reward at the end, and if we quit before we get there, we'll stand before the Lord empty-handed at that day. Run the race. Be determined not to let anything knock you out. Cross the finish line. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.